Hey, good morning, everybody, and good morning and welcome to those that are watching online, maybe for the very first Sunday. And it is really great to see all of you here this morning. And it's been quite a week. I was working on a message as part of our series from the book of Hebrews, Jesus is Better. And I was working on it all week. It is one of the warning passages that we find in the book of Hebrews. It's Hebrews 6, particularly verses 4 through 6. And it is probably without question the most difficult and most debated passage of Scripture in all of the New Testament. And so I'd been working hard on that passage of Scripture for that message. And right up through Thursday and right up till Friday morning. And then on Friday morning, I did something I think was the leading of the Holy Spirit. But after this unprecedented week of events that really from hour to hour, not just day to day, things were changing. I changed the message. The only other time I'd ever done that was the Sunday following 9/11. And that time I had a few days to change that message. But this Sunday, in many ways, has the same feel as that Sunday. And in what we've gone through and are in the midst of and facing as a nation, but not just a nation, as a world. We're facing a crisis, no doubt, that is of worldwide impact. And so it is a time of uncertainty, and things and events are just unfolding as we go. But as providence would have it, we have been in the book of Hebrews. And this book is written to a group of believers who are going through a crisis. And they were living, their world was a world of uncertainty. They were facing real persecution, hardship, difficulty, loss of property, even the possibility of loss of life because they were followers of Jesus Christ. And so as followers of Jesus Christ, they were being persecuted. They were Jewish followers of Jesus Christ. They had left Judaism and to follow Christ as the Messiah. But now as the pressure was being exerted upon them, they were a little bit staggered. They were faltering in their faith. They were losing their grip on the profession of faith and tempted to go back to the old life and abandon their faith in Jesus Christ. The preacher, the writer of Hebrews, writes this sermon letter to them just to encourage them. Don't quit. Don't give up, don't lose hope, because Jesus is better. He's better than the prophets, the angels, he's better than Moses, he's better than Aaron, better than the sacrificial system, better than Judaism. He's better than any loss of property, he's better than any suffering that you might go through. Jesus is better than all of those things. And I was just reminded of it personally, that Jesus is better than the coronavirus. And he is bigger, he is stronger, and as with any crisis that we face, he is there for us. And so this is just the question that that I was kind of struggling with and wanted to speak about this morning right here. How are we as Christians and the church to respond to the coronavirus? In that case, that's the specific crisis that universally we're dealing with, but really the question really comes down on a personal level, or how do I deal as a Christian in a church with any crisis in life, any time of uncertainty, and when any storm comes along? And really the message of Hebrews and the Word of God tells us, well, we are to hold on tight. You just hold tightly to your faith. You don't let go. You take hold of it. And it just happens that one of those verses we were going to be looking at, if the message had stayed the same as it was still from Hebrews chapter 6. And it's in verse 19. It's one of my favorite verses in all of the Scripture, not just the book of Hebrews, which says that we have this hope. We have hope. We sing about it. We believe it as an anchor. We have hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And so when all the world is being tossed and turned upside down, going in every direction, we have this hope. Hold on tightly to it. Don't let go. And so in the storms of life, whether it's a coronavirus in the immediate situation, many of you were going through a crisis of life before this ever was even discovered. And you have your personal storms that you're going through. Life is so uncertain. We have an anchor. I thought about those words of Jesus from Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus says, so don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will bring its own worries. Now, isn't that true? And been demonstrated to us. And so tomorrow's going to be different and bring some more worries than today. And I'm sure before this time next Sunday, we'll go through a week of worries. But don't worry about it. Today's trouble is enough for today. And I said amen, because that's just about all the trouble I want. It's just what I got today. That is enough. So our Lord Jesus Christ tells us, don't worry. Don't be buying worry. Don't go looking for worry. Don't worry. And so we have this new coronavirus, this COVID-19, and it now, but since last Sunday, we know it's now been called and labeled as a pandemic, which means it's not really any more severe in its cases. It's just now recognized that pan means broad everywhere. It is an epidemic that's worldwide. Almost every country in the world is experiencing it. The economy has been staggered. The markets have been in free fall and meltdown. I was thinking about that Sunday following 9/11. And in that Sunday, you remember, many of us remember, people were flocking to houses of worship. They're flocking to their churches. In times of crisis, in times of panic, people innately need to meet together. And that's what makes this time so uniquely different in this case, because we're being told, don't meet together. And so we have this time of uncertainty, familiar. We need to meet together. And I'll also tell you that we as a church respect and honor the authority that is over us. Ultimately, our authority is in Jesus Christ, and our authority comes from heaven. That's our ultimate authority. We also know that God established government to rule with peace and to be a minister in society. And so in every way possible, when possible, as possible as we can, we respect and submit to authority that is over us. There have been no government authority, state or local, that has said that churches should not meet. They've not asked us not to meet. They've made some decisions on the local side about there, but we've actually been, to this point, not asked to meet. It could change by next Sunday. And so we'll weigh all those things as they transpire. And so let you know that we're going to do our best to communicate to our church family and our community what's going on and how we're affected here. So I'd encourage you, all of you, on our social media, our website, we'll have it there, and call on the church, we'll send texts. We're going to try to communicate everything we can, of course, for this next week, and most likely for the next several weeks to come. There may be this question of what happens this Sunday at Bethany Church. So this is a verse I want to share with you that might be good just to, it's kind of a guiding verse of the book of wisdom of the Proverbs, Proverbs 22:3. And it says, a prudent person, a wise person, wise people, prudent people foresee danger and then take precautions. And that's really, if you'd sum up how we are to respond as believers in the church and how we've taken our tact as well, obviously with two words, prayer and precaution. And that's really how we're operating, with a sense of prayer and precaution. And so as we've been told by those CDC and others, that the way you should handle that is with no hugs and no handshakes. That's hard. You know, they tell you don't be touching your face, and as I think about it, my hands are always on my face. I've touched my face, I bet, a dozen times since I've been standing here. And so these are hard, and especially for us in this community, in this setting, you know, still hugs and handshakes. Nobody's offended, I guess, now. I'm getting, you know, the elbow bumps, the toe tap, the holy wave. I don't know, whatever you do and however you feel, but take those personal common sense precautions, the offering. So we didn't pass the offering plates this morning. We probably won't pass them until this crisis is passed, but there's an offering bucket right back there. There's offering buckets out there. You can go to the information desk. There'll be offering buckets there. If you can't find a place to give an offering, find me. Find someone here on staff. You can leave the offering there. You can take those connection cards. Even if you leave them on the seat, we'll get them. If you want to drop them in the bucket, that will be fine. Just drop them in the offering bucket there. We tried to get all the hand sanitizer that we could find, and it's scarce, as you know, but it's out, and we have multiple places for hand sanitizer, have hot water and soap, and we're to be washing our hands, which I don't know why y'all weren't washing your hands anyway, but I'm not going to say anything, all right? But take extra precaution now. And this is for me when I say this. Even those things I think, well, that's just a little bit overkill. I want to be sure that I don't impact somebody else that may not impact me. I want to send a message that I'm prudent and I care. And I listen, and we listen to those. We have healthcare professionals within our church that have given us very wise counsel and direction, and we're listening to the voices that speak to these issues that are above us. And of course, let me remind you, you have three ways to give here at Bethany Church. and you can give, of course, in the buckets there. But online giving, we've seen it really go up already this past year. And many taking advantage of that. It becomes more common. And it encourages all of you that may want to explore that option. If you need help with setting that up, just let us know and we'll help. It's very easy to do. You can text a gift with a credit or debit card, 84321. And especially during this time, churches and will be depending upon online giving from week to week as some aren't meeting and may be able to meet together. Older adults, and that's age 60, they tell us. And just so you know, I fall smack dab into that age range. So I'm taking my life in my own hands to be here this morning. I don't know how much I should have humor injected in this, but I'll find a line somewhere, I know. And if I offend you, I'm sorry already. I'm just going to apologize before that. But I do know the older we get, our immune system becomes more vulnerable. And so we fully respect and understand that. And we care for our older adults that are here. And encourage you at any time we would... know that I'd tell you to stay home, but I figured you didn't live to get to be 80 plus years old by anybody really telling you what to do, and you use your judgment in that, but we understand that. I would say this would be a time where we can help as the church, especially ministering within our own community to senior adults who in the weeks ahead may really need our help. They may be limited in what they can do and where they can go. They may need us to be able to take things to them and reach out to them. We stay in communication. This will be a crisis for that we can take as an opportunity to serve and to be the church to our whole community, but particularly within our own church for those. So I'd encourage all of our senior adults, let us know if you need anything, any way that we can help you. They're limiting visits now. To those that are in hospitals, almost restricting all visitors to nursing homes and assisted living places. And so no doubt we're in a period that is changing. So to those who feel a little more isolated and can feel isolated, I'd encourage those of us to be sure that we reach out, we communicate, and help them. But you know, this, of course, it is a health crisis of pandemic proportions. It's also been a political crisis. And these situations always are. But they're much more, this is much more than just a physical health crisis or a political crisis. We also need to understand that this is a spiritual issue. All things. There's nothing that's not spiritual. And this is a very spiritual issue. And so what I wanted to share with you this morning, change the message, is just real quickly learning from others and looking how we could do this, is what should we learn from the coronavirus? Or how should we respond? And what can we learn from this crisis that helps us in any other of life's crisis? Because this isn't the last pandemic we'll face. This isn't the last crisis that we will face or that you will face. How do we respond to a crisis in the world and in our homes and in our families and in our lives? And so just quick eight lessons and observations of what we should learn, and really to learn and to be reminded of. So here's the first one, that we are very fragile as human beings. It's a reminder to us that as human beings, in those moments we think we are strong, almost invincible, invulnerable sometimes, particularly as a nation, but as human beings, we learn we are very, very fragile. A global crisis like this reminds us just how weak we really are. In other words, there are moments like this in a crisis that are humbling. And this is one of those. And that's not a bad thing, to be humbled. And so we need to learn that we are weak, we are vulnerable, and we should be humble. Psalm 103, 15 and 16 says, our days on earth are like grass. They're like wildfire. Our life is like wildfires. We bloom and we die. The wind blows and we're gone, as though we had never been here. It's a rather sobering truth to think about. And so we are fragile. Really, two things that tells us there is that first of all, we should not be trusting in our own strength, our own ability, and our own resources. We should have been reminded of that full on this week. We can't trust in our own strength. We can't even find a roll of toilet paper around here in this town. All right? And so why we cannot rely on our own strength. And number two, we should never, ever take this life for granted. And each day is a gift from God for us. Number two, we should learn that we are really all equal as human beings. When you have an epidemic, a pandemic, a crisis like this, we realize that this virus doesn't discriminate. It doesn't discriminate at borders, no nationality, no ethnicity, no race, no color, no language, no culture. It doesn't discriminate between the poor and the rich. Tom Hanks and his wife, Rita Wilson, have the coronavirus. And so it just does not discriminate. And so what it reminds us that we are all human beings, and we all share that together, and none are better than others. We are all equal. Now, the reason for that is because we have our origin in the very heart of God himself. It tells us in Genesis 1:27, God created human beings in his own image. The image of God, he created them. And so every human being, we are equal in the fact that we are created in the eyes of God. You know, in the eyes of the world, we're all different. In the eyes of a virus, in suffering, in pain, in death, we're all just the same. Does not discriminate. In the eyes of God, we are just the same. Number three, we're reminded and learned this week that we are ultimately not in control of our lives. We're reminded just how little we are in control of. We have an illusion of control that comes into our life because I can't control my television with my remote control. I even got a smart thermostat. I don't even have to get out of my chair to change the temperature in my house, which is the coolest thing. I can turn the alarm off at my house with my remote control on my phone. And, I don't have any money to move around. Thank God it'd be gone already. But, people can move money around just with it. It ends up that we have this illusion of being in control, and we love being in control. And we can control significant parts of our lives, but we're reminded that this is just an illusion. We really don't have that much control, whether it be coronavirus, cancer, divorce, death. We have no control over those things. And a crisis reveals ultimately that we're not in control. So we do take every precaution, but we remember we're not in control. But that does not mean things are out of control. It reminds us that God is in control, and we trust in the one who is in ultimate control in those areas. That brings us to number four, and that is reminded, and this is a good reminder, especially during this particular crisis, is that we were created for relationships. We were created for relationships. We were not created for isolation. We were not created to be alone. Matter of fact, the first thing that God ever saw in this world that was not good, you remember what it was? Aloneness. Saw Adam and said, this is not good for him to be alone. And to remember that we are created for community and to be part of a community. Now we hear things like self-quarantine or social distancing. And we learn from that, it is painful to be excluded. It's not easy to be excluded. I think about the stories in the Old Testament, in those Old Testament times, and there'd be those that would be excluded because they were sick and they had a disease called leprosy. And they would be isolated out from the community. And there they would always, and commanded to always be screaming, the words, unclean, unclean. And really, they suffered twice because they suffered physically with a horrible disease and then suffering emotionally with just isolation and no support. And that's because we are made for relationships. And these are times that we have to work at temporary isolation, and it's hard, and it's hard, and sometimes we have to do that for the good, for a temporary time. I hope the lesson is, after all this is done and after this virus is gone, is that we don't forget how this isolation is, and we still remember those who are isolated and alone, maybe all alone because of deaths of loved one, or all alone because they're in a health facility or a care facility, remembering that pain of isolation, that we need relationships and we need community. And that's what we talk about here, we need community here, and we talk about it at Bethany Church, that we want to do life together because we weren't made, we weren't created to do life alone. Well, number five, the lesson we can learn here, and I think is probably the most profound lesson, is that there is a difference between fear and faith. There is a difference between, and the tension is most evident, we see it played out every day, between fear and faith. And so, what has been your reaction to this crisis? And what should be the proper reaction to this particular crisis, because it is so easy to be gripped by fear and worry and by panic. And by the way, this may remind you, you may not be so fearful of this crisis, but there's one that will strike fear in your heart that could come. It could be a diagnosis from a doctor. It could be the loss of a loved one, things you've never experienced before. And all of a sudden, you realize now, where is my faith in the face of this uncertainty, in this fear? Our faith is that God is ultimately in control, that Jesus Christ is my hope, and he can guide us and guide me through this storm. And that's the message we have as the church. That's what we hold on to as believers, that we take it seriously and we take precautions, but we don't panic. We just don't panic because there is no reason to panic, and that God has ultimately got this handled. And so that's what we can read in 2 Timothy 1:7, where it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." So fear is not given to us from God. So when I feel fear, I remind myself, God, I know this is not of you. I know this fear is not from you. I know this timidity is not from you. That ultimately I can face that. You've given me a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. You hear this hope that I hold on to. And so we hold on to that. And so we can look at where is my faith during this time? Now, number six, and that leads right into this, is that we need to learn that we can and we must pray. We can and we must pray, that we need God and we need to pray. This crisis, like any other crisis, ultimately makes us feel small and insignificant. In the wave of a pandemic, you can't help but feel powerless. And so we try to do whatever we can do, which really we know isn't really anything. We gather up a few more supplies, make sure we've got some water and some things, it just seems so meaningless. But be reminded that what we can do is pray. We can pray. And so the president declared this week that today, March the 15th, 2020, was to be a national day of prayer. I didn't look. I don't remember. I don't know when it was that we had the last national day of prayer in this nation. I imagine it was about 9/11. We may have had more since then. I don't remember them. But today, the president declared a national day of prayer. He said, "It's my great honor to declare this Sunday, March 15th, is a national day of prayer. We are a country that throughout our history has looked to God for protection and strength in times like these." And he's right. We've been a nation that has always turned and depended upon God in times of crisis like this. And so we are praying. And so we are to pray for the authorities that are over us, that are running countries and cities. And we are admonishing the scriptures to always pray for those over us. We're praying for medical personnel and medical teams that are treating the sick, and our scientists who are developing treatments and vaccines. We're praying for the men and women and children who have been infected with the disease, for people who are afraid and gripped by fear to leave their homes, for those who are at risk with other illnesses. And we're praying for those who are vulnerable. We're praying for those who are senior adults. We're praying for the frontline caregivers. We're praying that the Lord would protect us and keep us. We're praying for him that he would show us his grace and his mercy. It's also a good time to remember to pray for the Lord Jesus Christ's return, and he might come back and take us to the new creation that he's prepared for us, a place where there are no pandemics, there's not any disease, any sickness, there's no tears, there's no mourning, there's no crying, there's no pain, there's no death. And that is our ultimate hope. And even at times like this, it's a reminder that there is something better than this. And this isn't all that there is, and we pray towards that. Let me give you two more, and just quickly, and we'll have a time of prayer together. Number seven, well, let me read number, you know, as we pray together, Philippians 4, let me read the scripture I wanted to share with you. And for really, you know, don't worry, don't panic, have faith, not fear. We can pray, must pray. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, Paul says, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Just a blanket statement, anything. Instead, pray about everything. Just everything can be brought to the Lord in prayer. A coronavirus, a pandemic, or whatever you're facing. Tell God what you need. Thank Him for what He has already done. It says when you pray and do this, you're going to experience something that is really, you can't even understand or explain, and others sure don't. He says, then you'll experience God's peace and not panic, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And so that really is our prayer. Ultimately, as we pray, that the peace of God guards our hearts and our minds and our lives. It's a peace that passes all understanding. Two more. Number seven, during a time of crisis like this, we can remember and must remember what is really important in life. You know, a crisis in life, a trial in life, has a way of just putting everything in perspective. And you can focus in on what is really important. Thought about those words of Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, in Ecclesiastes, in those first couple of verses of chapter 1. He says, meaningless, meaningless, or vanity, vanity, emptiness, emptiness, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? And only there, that is not where our meaning comes from. And he says, those things that we think are so important, those things that now we just live for day in and day out, now that's brought in perspective in times like this of what is really important. And so we can easily lose our perspective in the chaos and the busyness of just going through everyday normal life. Then you have a disruption that comes into it of pandemic proportions in this case. And it just then shakes everything, and it teaches us what this is, what is really important in life and what is meaningful or what is meaningless, what really matters. And then the last thing we learn is that we can discover what our hope is. You know, everybody has something that they call hope. Now, whether or not they would actually use the word, it's just what everybody has, something they are placing their hope in. It may be their own strength. It may be their own resources, their own abilities. But that's their hope, whether they call it that or not. Everybody discovers a time like this what their hope really is. And so we're reminded, I'm reminded, that Jesus came to warn us. He came to save us from a far more lethal universal virus that ultimately ends in certain death. It is a pandemic called sin that has already infected every single person in the world. And the Bible is a story of how God entered this world infected with this virus of sin, how He lived among sick people, not wearing chemical protective suits and hazmat suits, breathing the same air that we breathe, eating the same food that we do. He died in isolation, excluded from His people, seemingly far from His Father on the cross, all because He might provide a sick world, a sick people, a sick person like me, with the antidote for that virus that ends in eternal death, giving us healing and eternal life. And that's where it comes. He gives us that hope. And let me tell you, this is an opportunity for the church. It's an opportunity for the church and believers worldwide to be the church. And how we respond as believers to this crisis, I think, will have impact for all eternity. You may not have even heard much about this, but as this, in January, this epidemic now is starting to have a name, and it unfolds, and the origins are Wuhan, China, and then it just begins to go from there. I want to remind you, and you probably never even heard these reports, was reading in these, you know, one report said, facing both increased persecution and the coronavirus, and sometimes even blamed for the coronavirus, Chinese Christians would be forgiven for going underground. Kind of like the Hebrew Christians. You know, who could blame them for going back to Judaism? I mean, it costs too much. It's too hard to follow Jesus Christ. Yet according to the reports that were coming out of China, Christians in China, the Christians in Wuhan were, quote, out into the streets. They gave out masks, and they say that they are Christians, and they share the love of Jesus Christ. They were running to the crisis. World Magazine reported how members of one Chinese church had been ministering to the medical personnel in China, delivering food and supplies to a quarantined family, leading a dying woman who was visiting Wuhan to Christ. And then they filmed her memorial service for her family back home. These believers are following in the footsteps of Christians throughout history, such as those during the time of the Roman Empire, as the Hebrews, running into a plague, running into a fire, a building, running to the World Trade Centers, running to the disaster and the crisis in the name of Jesus Christ to make him known, and at even the risk of their own life to do that, to give a witness. This is a time of really unparalleled opportunity in this moment for us to be people of faith and let others know it. We run to Christ. We run to the cross and not away from it. Love these words in 1 Peter 3:15. It says, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. And I always think about there, if anybody's ever going to ask me for the reason I have this hope I have, I want to be prepared to give them an answer. But first of all, they've probably got to realize I've got something they don't have. And they see something I have that they don't have. And ultimately, what I have that they don't have is hope. And his name is Jesus Christ. And that's the hope that we have. I think of this Psalm 33:7. It says, now is the time to trust in the Lord and do good. It's a time that we take precautions and we do good as we trust in the Lord. And I'm thinking and hoping and just anticipating the ways that we can see what Jesus Christ will do, even in our own church, and find opportunities of ministry and able to serve and bring others to Christ, that they can receive healing spiritually and have the same eternal life that we have. You know, James 5:16 says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So let me tell you, you're not powerless and you're not ineffective against a pandemic or in any crisis because the prayer of a righteous person is powerful. And as believers, worry is not our friend and panic is not our way. And if there should ever be people that have a sense of calm, it is the people of Jesus Christ and his church. And we need prayer-infused confidence and compassion and selflessness. Selflessness. Let somebody else have that roll of paper towels. Let somebody else maybe have something, that mask or whatever it is you might want and think you need. They can see selflessness and what it looks like. And we have much to, as they see that, how much we talk and how we react to what's happening around us. Thought about this quote from Dr. Billy Graham. And Graham said years ago, we are to pray in times of adversity, lest we become faithless and unbelieving. And how true that is and how timely it is. But he went on to say and remind us, you know, we're also to pray in times of prosperity, lest we become boastful and proud. We're to pray in times of danger, lest we become fearful and doubting. We're to pray in times of security, lest we become self-sufficient. Every day is a national day of prayer for us as the church. Each day we wake up with a new crisis that we face, a crisis of unbelief, and we attack it. And this day is really no different. Now it just takes on the name and has manifested itself in this crisis of Corona. And so we're going to pray today. And we're just going to pray for, ask you to pray where you are and a moment lead you in this time of prayer together. And as we were praying, and of course we've mentioned some to be praying for, but remember, we're praying for those who are battling this coronavirus, patients and medical personnel, frontline researchers, for those who've already experienced loss. They've lost loved ones all around the world, even a few in our own nation. We're praying for their suffering and their pain. Remember to pray for our missionary and international ministry partners all around the world. We're praying for them. Who face this is real for them. I can tell you, most of us who live here question why people do what they do to take the name of Jesus Christ to others. And let me just tell you why they do it. God's called them to do it, and they're obedient. And they'll risk their own life to do it. Risking their life for them is nothing to do that. It's that important. It puts me to shame to think I can't even tell my neighbor across the street about Jesus Christ because I'm a little embarrassed. We pray for the strength against this spirit of fear and panic. Of course, we lift up our leaders, our president and Vice President Pence, and all those in leadership from the highest levels right down to the local levels, to mayors and county commissioners and school board lead members and those who are in authority. We pray for those. And ultimately, we pray for the hope of the gospel to be made clear to a frightened, watching world that wants to know why we have hope and they don't, and that we can make it clear. So let's bow together as we pray. And then as we finish this prayer, we'll worship together and have a song together. And if you need to pray, you can pray here, you can pray there. You can meet me anytime and pray with you about anything you have this morning. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, we know that you traveled through towns and villages curing every disease and illness. At your command, the sick were made well. And today we pray you'll come to our aid. In the midst of this global spread, this pandemic of the coronavirus, that we may experience your healing love. We pray you'll heal those who are sick with this virus. May they regain their strength and their health through the quality medical care, even you touch their life with healing. We pray you'll heal us from fear, which often causes division and keeps us from working together, or causes us to be selfish. And Father, and keeps us from neighbors from helping others. And we pray that we will rise up, Father, and be gripped by faith and not fear. Father, heal us from our pride, which can make us claim an invulnerability to a disease that knows no borders. And Jesus Christ, you're the healer of all. Stay by our side in this time of uncertainty and sorrow. Be with the families of those who are sick or have lost loved ones. As they worry and grieve, defend them from illness and despair. May they ultimately know your peace. Father, be with doctors and nurses and researchers and all medical professionals who seek to be your agents of healing. Help those who are affected and who put themselves at risk in this process. May they know your protection and peace. Father, be with the leaders of all the nations around the world. And we pray for our leaders of our nation, for our president, right down to the city and local leaders. Give them the foresight to act with love and true concern for the well-being of all people they're meant to serve. Give them wisdom to invest in long-term solutions that will help them prepare for or prevent future types of outbreaks like this. Father, may they know your peace as they work together to achieve it here on earth. And Father, we do pray for all of our missionaries all over the world. Pray you'll keep them safe and healthy. We pray for Robert Bryan today. And Father, as he's ministering there in Asia, you'd keep him safe and with his family. And Father, bring him home safely. And Father, may we be your church. And may the gospel of Jesus Christ and the hope be known clear and by all through us. And ultimately, Father, I pray that you will forgive us of our own spiritual sickness, of our own sins, and that, Father, we would trust in you alone. In the name of the great physician, the great healer, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.